And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Do we have a great show for you today? Pete's not joining us. He is traveling back from that fantastic trip at Katmai Lodge with Harold Davis on our Let's Talk Hookup trip, and I'm sure we'll hear from him a little later in the show if they're not already in the air. But, boy, do we have a great one for you today. Michael Schweit from the Southwest Council of Fly Fishers International. It's going to be a great show. We're going to be talking fly fishing, talking fun, tuna, inshore, offshore, your questions, catch reports, and more. You stay tuned. It's going to be a great day. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the angler's catching fish habit, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
The future comes standard at your San Diego County Ford dealers, so swing on by and check out the legendary Ford F-150, the smart and capable Ford Ranger, and the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. New inventory is arriving daily, and your San Diego County Ford dealer is here to help you build and order the truck or SUV of your dreams. Want to make sure you get the right truck to tow your boat? They'll help you order the right configuration to meet your needs. Want to make sure you get the right SUV to haul your gear on your next adventure? They've got you covered there, too. Escape, Edge, Bronco Sport, Explorer, and Expedition. They've got the SUV that's perfect for you. If it isn't on the lot, they'll order it and get you exactly what you need. They want your trade, so swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see all the great deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and I always want to learn a little bit of fly fishing.
Yeah, well, I can assure you, you have the very best guy sitting next to us to learn that from, and that's Michael Schweit. And Mike, morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, a show that Pete, I'm sure, really wished he would have been here for. Fly fishing, his passion, something that I have grown fond of since talking to you. When last time you were on the show, which has been way too long, you would always talk about the fly fishing and how it just so much of it carried over and all the fun. Since then, I've developed a big thing for mammoth and all the freshwater. I love it. It's a big thing. But the perfect guy who just takes a great approach, and I'm just excited. I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking about fly fishing from a show that's dominated by conventional sport fishing, and you always bridge the gap so well in all the shows you've done with Pete, and I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So you represent the Southwest Council Fly Fishers International.
Right. I was president for 8 years, and now I do special projects, which is I do events.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I organize events. So I organize the parties, I guess, if we have parties.
And from the most hardcore, dedicated, special fly trip to hopping on a party boat up and down Southern California, saltwater fishing, but everything with a fly rod in your hand.
Everything with a fly rod.
I love it.
I still haven't changed that. It's very funny because I do the charters out of the Channel Islands, and once in a while, it doesn't work for fly fishing, and I grab one of the guys' sticks, and they you know how to cast.
Yeah, I came from that world, and you don't lose it.
That's
so fun.
The thing that I liked the most about starting to get into fly fishing a little bit, which I am still 100% the absolute novice, but the thing that I liked about it the most was it really is all about casting. My favorite type of fishing at home, if I could do anything in the world, would be surface iron yellowtail fishing. I love that. And so much of that technique, I mean, most of it, the highest percentage of it is about the cast and knowing how to load your rod and let the rod do all the work for you. And if you've done any of that, the skill set transfers over so fast to fly fishing.
Yeah. Well, there's another thing, too, and we could talk about it whenever. There's a technique in fly fishing called swinging flies. And for somebody like you who comes from that world of iron and liking fishing plastics, that's what swinging is in a river. And basically what swinging is one or two flies on a floating line or a slight sinking line. But you cast it out perpendicular to the river. You wade in knee-deep, whatever. You cast it out perpendicular, and the line starts swinging downstream. And you hold onto the rod. You don't feed any line. You're holding onto the rod, and with a rod tip, you're following it down. Well, the fish are seeing these things going through the surface, and it's like a reaction bite.
Sure.
It's like something's going by. They're like, I need to eat. And you're just like minding your own business, watching your line go down, and all of a sudden it's like, funk. And I was thinking about you with that kind of thing, because that's what translates is – yeah, we can catch calico bass and all those things on bait, but when you're fishing plastics and you're learning that stuff, that first jolt,
oh, dude,
when you're doing it, it's like you remember it. It comes back, and that's why you keep doing it, and that's what this is like.
Some of the bites, you know, let me get my fly terminology on. Some of the takes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm a little refined.
I'm very impressed.
No, it's like that's not a boil. That's a rise.
I mean, spectacular. You know what I mean? Like, who doesn't like? We're fishermen, and that's everything. You know what I mean? The bite on, let's be real, the bite on a popper is cooler than the bite on something that's subsurface. And and fly fishing can be very much that way. Or the same way that stripping a streamer or something else and having the line damn near jerked out of your hands, it's cool. Like,
and see, you've got something down here that we don't have as much in L.A. You have a lot of bass lakes.
Okay.
So I don't know if you do freshwater bass fishing, but bass on a fly are just outstanding, and especially if you have access to a lake that you could be out there first thing in the morning, like this time of year.
Sure.
The topwater bite, Al Q may be listening. I know you've had Al Q on
your show. Sure, plenty of times.
We were up at Westlake a number of times that we'd be up there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and between 6 and like 8:30, it was just getting, boils and fish and boils and fish one after another, and it's all topwater.
That is cool. The other thing that I think we overlook so often is something that I know is very near and dear to Corey's heart, and that's the surf fishing opportunities.
Right.
That's the one thing that I haven't done yet that I really want to kind of add to my game is fishing the surf with the fly. I mean, there's some avenues where you want to catch your fish on the fly because you want that feather in your cap. Mm-hmm. I got this fish on the fly rod. And then there's others where it is just a better technique. You know, some of the river fish and things like that. There is no better way to catch something with a fly rod. And I feel like surf can very much be one of those things. You're trying to present small bait, small things, and sometimes that fly is just, it's just the better mousetrap.
Right. Well, you talked about even learning from other and observing other people. That's one of the things, like some of the flies I tied, and I'm going to probably get the name wrong because I don't fish plastics anymore, but a lot of the guys for calico bass were using the nuclear chicken, which the colors are like green and orange, and there's nothing in the ocean.
That even looks like that, right?
That they're going to normally eat. And I looked at that, and I was like, I'm going to tie – I have feathers like that, and I tied flies that looked like that. And I started getting bass, more, you know, not like all the time, but it works. And so it's kind of cool to tie this, but it's like, what is that puzzle? And when we have time later, I want to talk to you, especially rock cod, about some rock cod fishing and some things that we learned from just the conventional guys.
Sure.
But yeah, it's really an important thing.
I think it's so cool.
And I've seen some of the sand crab imitations. I mean, they look legitimate.
I know.
The shape, but the coloration, like that sandy kind of modeling, I mean, the speckling in them and everything.
There's some tires out there that, I mean, that's what we call more of an imitative.
Okay.
I'm going to get the word wrong. I mean, I'm not even going to find it right now. You have an imitative that is One represents, like, the sand crabs that really do look like a sand crab.
It's got the actual shape.
And then you have others that may just be a wad of gray yarn with a hook in it. It's representing what a sand crab could be. And the fish, especially in the surf, don't have time. Somebody's going by and they go, I think that's food. And they eat that.
But the way it's tied, the feathers and the yarn actually poof out to look like an entirety.
The things, if you come to, I'll get you some dates on some things. We have occasionally these events that we have, I think, with fly tires there. And the things that these guys are doing and inventing and working on, it's like you just stand over them. It's like, oh, my, I never even thought about doing things like that.
I have a very good friend, Eric Noguchi, who called me. It was like 2.5 weeks ago. He was coming home from Utah. And he's like, Corey, he for half an hour, he talked about, like, Corey, you would be hooked if you were stripping a fly and got a bite. And
there's no doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
And he explained it to me. I mean, like you're explaining it, Michael. Like, it's the...
It's a very visual thing.
But the bite, he explained to me, as you've got that line in your hand and you're stripping it through.
It's like iron. It could be on a lightweight trout rod, but it's like iron. It's still that thing that you're attached to it.
He's like, you would be so hooked, you would not be able to put it down. He's like, I've got to get you out and do this, you know?
Yeah.
The one, and I know that we're bouncing around, but Corey and I being, you know, the neophytes to this, is the one that we talked about a bunch with Pete being up at Katmai was fishing mouse patterns for trout. And I just think that has got to be one of the coolest ways you could catch a fish. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that you have done plenty of that in your career.
I've done it with no success at all.
No success.
Really?
Okay.
No success. And mouse patterns are really fun to tie.
I'm sure.
And
cool looking.
And what's really nice is you can give them out as gifts because you can get like a old branch out of your yard and stick it in a piece of foam. And then you stick the hook of the mouse into it. It looks like a mouse is sitting on a branch.
Oh, okay.
And you give it to one of your
friends. Cool.
Here you go. But, yeah, I fished them, and I've had fish come up on them. Where he was at, those are the places. Around here, Southern California, there are some rivers and sometimes that they're going to react to mice. Up in Alaska, that's going to be
a different story.
Yeah, that's going to be very large trout on a go-to. And we don't think of trout really as taking poppers because they're not that kind of fish.
Uh-huh.
But if you're fishing a mouse pattern, which is swimming right at the surface, you're going to see trout come up just... You know, and just
that sounds incredible to me.
Yeah, right.
You know where I can see that working too, Rick and Michael, is at Barrett.
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Yeah. No, I think for bass, mice would be fine. Yeah, I think that would be okay. I was just thinking strictly trout. But, you know, bass are one of those things. I'll eat anything, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if they bite a frog, there's no reason they wouldn't bite a fly that's doing the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And what a great place to fish a frog, too, at Barrett, especially right now when the algae gets high and all the grass gets, you know, in those coves. Like, for sure would be a spot.
You're talking about my speed?
I know.
Oh, man. You just talked about Barrett. I got invited to go out on Barrett this Wednesday, and I'm going to be out on the Apollo on a two-day tuna trip. So it's like, I'm giving up one for the other, but that's okay.
It's a good reason to miss.
I should have a problem like that all the time.
But still great fishing. I mean, even in the, you know, in the middle of the heat, I know Brandon and RC from our tackle store went this last week and had great fishing yet again. I mean, it's just that place is just
really
so special. I dig it. Yeah, very fun.
Now, we should make a day. That'll be a good thing for you and I to do, go out there and do some bass fishing.
I'm in.
And I can show you the fly rods.
I'm in.
So I have a question in this whole fly fishing world, Michael, is... You say you charter boats and you fish the Channel Islands. How does that...
How does it work?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was hoping you guys were going to clue me in. You know?
But I'm just so curious. I mean, so you charter one of the boats and you've got a handful of guys that are strictly fly fishing?
So there's two different ways that I do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can mention
anything. Always.
So the Island Attack, John Fuqua, Donald Fuqua,
of course,
his son. I fished with these guys now a long
Savvy.
Time.
I mean, we know the names.
Yes. And they're good guys. And John likes fishing, and Donald likes fishing, so it's always really good. So it started out that I just did the charters, and we'd have 10 guys, and then I got into fly fishing, and it's like, well, I still like these 10 guys. I don't want to give this up. So I started fishing off the bow, which is fine. They don't want the bow. They want the stern. You guys want where all the chum is going, right? So, okay, fine. So I'll fish off the bow. And I did that for years, and I started, you know, get whack calico bass, get bonita, barracuda once in a while. And then one trip I was on with John, and I caught 3 white sea bass.
Oh.
On the fly.
On the fly.
Come on.
And I never caught any.
Now we're talking.
And I was like, and it was one of those bites. You know white sea bass. No, we're not going to eat. No, we're not going to eat. And we chased the school for like 2 hours. No, we're not going to eat. third time, or like
this is a visual fish, like up on the surface, is the dude milling around, or is this fish on the bottom?
John's watching the sonar.
Got it.
At like 50, 60 feet of water.
Okay.
And we get over the fish, and the guys are dropping, you know, dropper loops down, and I'm casting the flight. Nothing happens. And we do this for 2.5 hours. John goes, let's hit the school one more time, and let's go calico fishing. We get over the school. Okay, everybody drop. Everybody drops. I make my cast, and I look down the rail, and I watch 9 rods all bend at the same time. And I go, wow, that's really – oh, wait, I've got a fish. And my first thought is, because what had happened another time, barracuda and white sea bass go together.
Sure,
and I think, I just got another barracuda. And all of a sudden the thing takes off, and I'm like, oh, maybe.
This might be the deal.
And it's like a 20-pound white sea bass.
Oh,
and
on the fly.
On the fly.
Oh,
and I'm
so
like,
cool.
And John's stoked. It's like, wow, this is great. So we land the fish, and – this is when the limit's 3, and the guys are still catching fish. And I go, I should maybe
yeah,
I should
I gotta
maybe
put it
I
back out there, right?
I cast out again, 1 strip, 2 strip, bang, get another fish. It's like, oh my god.
So are you using at that time like a bait fish streamer imitation?
It's a streamer. Yes, it's a streamer. It looks like an anchovy.
Don't let me fool you. I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Like, you sounded really good. Yeah. I think that primer book that we gave you ahead of time did a lot of good. But then I got a third one. And so we got a nice photograph of me with these three
fish.
That's
so rad.
And John says to me, what's the world record on these things? I go, I don't know. So we look it up, and the records, I mean, Al Hughes got, God, I think his record is like a 36-pounder on the fly that he got
incredible.
A couple of years ago. So I'm like, so I look it up, and John and I are going through the thing, and he goes, this record here, an 8-pound test, is a 9-pound fish. He said, if you catch any keeper at all, you'll break that record. And I was like, okay. So I started fishing 8-pound test, and of course, 4 years go by. 4 years of the guys are getting my dropper loop. Hey, Michael, you want one of my fillets to go home? Thank you very much. I didn't get any today. You know, and that's fine. They're a bunch of good guys. So, and then I finally got the world record. I forget what year it was, in July on a trip up there. You know, got the fish and played it around an 8-pound test, a little goosey, you know, and it's 11 pounds, 13 ounces. Not a huge fish.
Awesome.
But it's still
fast. That's so cool.
But I like that. So you were asking about, so I'm up at the bow.
Yes.
So I've had other people say, well, I want to go on these fly fishing trips. And there's other groups that are doing it. And this is a really underutilized thing that's going on here in Southern California. You go to the East Coast, and there are boats going out all the time. And not just the 2-pack and the 6-pack, but like the party boat.
Yeah. Like 15 or 20 guys on a boat.
Right. And there's a thing that you have to do. We call it the dance. And we've got the Southwest Council on YouTube has a channel. And I think it's episode 3 that we've got even a little video as to how it goes.
You search Southwest
Council. Okay. SWCFFI, the whole thing. But Southwest Council will show up too, I'm sure. But we do this dance. So if you're facing the stern, right-handers are on the right-hand corner, which would be the port side, and left-handers would be on the other side. And you've got a stripping basket that you're putting your line into. And this is strictly now...
attached to you, not
on
the deck.
Right, or a bucket if you want to.
Yeah.
This is now 100% fly. There's nobody on the boat that's conventional, except for Donald, because he's running the boat. and so the guy in the corner, first guy, we get to a stop, he anchors, throws a little bit of chum. First guy in the corner makes a cast. And you angle it a little bit so you're not hitting the boat. You know, you kind of cast in the middle. And you take a step to your left. The next guy comes up with his basket, and he's ready, and he makes a cast. That first guy, his line's settling down. It's straightening out. He might start stripping in. Now he moves over again. Third guy casts. And so we start doing this rotation.
We
start doing this rotation. If the guy gets bit, we've got 9-foot rods. It's real easy that the guy says, I want to make a cast, and you drop your rod down
on
the fish. He makes the cast right over you. You lift the rod, you're still bringing the fish in. It works amazingly well. And so...
it makes sense. I mean, I get it.
So last year, I said, I'm going to change some of the charters and do fly fishing only. And I pushed it out. And it's a slog because... fly anglers in general think of it, most people, when we're at the hall show, when we've done any of those things, they're like, I thought flies are just for trout. And the ones I love is, I've never seen like a tuna come up and eat like a dry fly. No, they're not eating dry flies. They're eating big streamers. But that's the perception of those things. So even with fly anglers, it's, well, why aren't you going?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I don't have the gear. Yeah, you have the gear. And if you don't have the gear, we can borrow the gear. And
yeah, there's this awesome fishery here. Why aren't you taking advantage of it?
You know, you have the Sierras, which I love. I love everything about the Sierras. But this is here in our yard, and that is 5 hours away.
Yeah, it takes you hours to get to Mammoth. It takes you 15 minutes to get down to the beach and go
go strip a surf fly.
So, but here's one of the things that, because I did a tour this year. I was a speaker at some of the clubs in Southern California. And before I went on that, I talked to other people and said, why haven't you done this? You fly fish for like 30 years. And everybody kind of hems and haws. One thing that comes back, which is very interesting, that we forget because we've been fishing a long time. We don't think about this. One of the things that keeps people away from going on boats is seasickness. They may have gotten seasick as a kid. They may have had any of these things. And so it's stuck in their mind. I'll go on a cruise ship. I'm not, and they remember the old diesel. That's the thing that I hear. Oh, I remember going to the boat, and I went outside, and that smell, and then the greasy hamburgers, and oh, that was the end of that. And I'm like, okay, things have changed.
Yeah, right.
The boats have, like, literally no smell, and we've got, there's all kinds of methods out there to not get seasick.
Yeah, totally.
And follow the directions. No, you don't get on the boat with a bucket of fried chicken and a six-pack of beer the night before. Because in the morning, yeah, you might be queasy. I would be queasy. So it's those kind of things to get. So last year, we got people to go on some of the trips. So we're only going with six or seven people in that case instead of going with 11. And it works really well. And we're bopping calico bass.
That sounds so fun.
And we had one trip in October that we got on a school of whitefish, and I had seven guys, and we caught and released 300 whitefish.
Wait. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, because whitefish are literally glued to the bottom.
Whitefish come October, September,
yeah.
October,
yeah.
Start moving up a little bit, I guess, because when the water cools, I guess I have no authority.
But you're still in 60, 70, 80, minimal.
The one thing that a sport fishing captain told me years ago when I was getting more into the fly fishing on the boat,
yeah.
I'm thinking, I've got to use a really heavy line. I've got to get down deep. You know, I was watching some of the guys on albacore. Remember albacore? You know, fishing like a one-ounce dropper loop kind of thing to get it down. And I think, and they go, you don't understand. The fish are looking up. They've got excellent vision. They're seeing something, and if it's up at the surface and they decide, I want to eat it, it's two flicks of a tail for them to come from 60, 70 feet and eat whatever's up there, whether it's a bait or your fly. He said, so you don't need to be down there. You need to be having things that are making them go, I need to eat that. And so, yeah, we don't.
So they come up in the water column
they come up
for your offering.
And what happened with the whitefish on this trip? They started doing a little chumming, you know, with
squid,
and they came up a little bit. And then when we started getting them on the fly, you know what it's like. You get into this, the whole school gets into a frenzy.
Competition, got it.
Yeah, and they all start eating. And even if we're letting them go, nobody's going back and saying to their buddy, "Don't eat that thing." They just keep eating. And
so you've actually, in the mix of that, you've got to be getting red rockfish and
This was 100%
straight whitefish.
And we got whitefish. Donald was with us, and he said, I got to get into this, and he's got a fly rod, you know. I don't mind the captain fishing at all. He never takes advantage of it.
Yeah.
And the first whitefish he hooked was about a 5 or 6 pounder, and he goes, I've got a yellowtail. Okay, this is somebody who knows.
Yeah, sure.
But he's not used to the fly rod. And, yeah, it feels, because all of a sudden you're like strip, bang, and the line is like yanked out of your hand, and you're like, oh, my God, what is that?
And a 5-pounder?
And it's a 5-pound whitefish. And
yeah, these are Channel Island whitefish. This isn't Coronado Island, 11 inches.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Because they get hammered more, or it's just different?
It's different water. Channel Island just grows big. Big ground fish, it just does. That's an ideal spot for it.
And shallower.
I guess shallower, yeah.
That doesn't mean that a 5-pound whitefish doesn't exist down here, but, boy, there's not a lot of them. Yeah.
So I had like 5 or 6 guys on the boat that had kind of dabbled in like surf fishing, and they were like, okay, we'll give this thing a try. And they were like, when they got off the boat, they're like, I'm going to book for next year. And it's like, guys, I hate to break this to you. This doesn't happen all the time, right? But it was really neat.
It's just cool. One of those oddities that you've got to enjoy while
it got
happening.
Into it.
I love it.
Yeah, that worked really well.
Hey.
Well, as you can hear, what a killer show we're going to have today.
Sure. If you want to join us and learn with it as Rick and myself, it's kind of cool having Michael in studio from the South. Give me the title again. The Southwest Council of Fly Fishers International.
Just call it Southwest Council. It's much easier. We're part of Fly Fishers International, but you don't need that in the title necessarily. Everybody knows who we are.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
It works out okay.
So if you want to join us, give us a call at 213-432-1090. or join us via the app. You can text us via the app and send us a text. You got a question for Michael. And I mean, outside of talking about Barrett and largemouth and whitefish and white sea bass, I'm impressed about the white sea bass thing. But we can get more into the calicos and yellowtail. Have you caught yellowtail?
Caught yellowtail. And here's a different thing.
Yes.
Down here, yellowtail are easier because we're most of the time when we're going after them, we're patty hopping.
You're surface fishing for them.
I mean, definitely up, and I've actually learned how to take them on the poppers because I've tried for years, and I fish. There's a really good guy who runs a two-pack out of Huntington Beach, Vaughn Podmore, and I was with Vaughn, and I said, I can't get him on the popper. He said, how are you fishing him? And I showed him, and I did the typical thing like we do for largemouth, chug, chug, fast, and he goes, no, yellowtail like it's swim.
Swimming.
Slow it down and make it sexy. And I'm like, and we had a few yellows, some real rats around the boat up at Catalina. And he goes, watch this. And he throws it out there, and he's walking. These are things called crease flies. And they're foam, and they're just really neat. They're about that long, and they just, you know, and they go like
this. Kind of snake through the water.
Yeah. And he's doing this, and bang, you know, we get a yellowtail. And
wow.
And it's like, okay. And I went down to San Diego, and I think I was fishing on the Apollo. And we got into a good school of them, and I tried that, and bam, on the pond.
Ah, how cool.
But it's like, we always think poppers need to be moved fast and that they need this kind. No, hey. Other species don't want that.
So. Just cool. Like that story right there.
Totally.
Right? We've got more ahead of us, and we're giving away, on top of that, you want to give us a call again, a couple open lines, 213-432-1090. That's your chance right now because we're giving away a $300 certificate to Costa Del Mar sunglasses. That's your choice to go on there. Choose what you want at Costa.com. And we're going to be right back. More from Michael from the Southwest Council of Fly Fishers International. When we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, four-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start pickle sport fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Park Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing ground reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair upfront honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
This is Captain Dwayne Diego of Pinnacle Sport Fishing. Visual signs are one of our most important aspects to our charter fishing business. It's the reason myself and all of our crew all wear Costa sunglasses. With advanced polarization technology, Costa is designed to help cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color and comfort to help you see more fish. Costa was founded over 35 years ago by a group of fishermen wanting high-performance lenses for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your pursuit. Check them out at CostaSunglasses.com.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and like I said, we're having a fun time in the studio. I mean, talking on break here, just I'm learning so much.
I think Corey and I are probably going to learn as much as anybody. We keep pumping Michael for every question.
I know. It's really cool, actually, and if you want to join us, or perhaps you're in the purest form of a fly fisher and don't fish conventional and want to join us, either way, we're having fun today, and you can learn with us and join us at 213-432-1090 or text us via the app, and make sure you leave your name and number, contact, because at the end of the show, we're giving away a $300 certificate to Costa Del Mar. Very and cool. Between the texters and the callers, one of you is going to win prize right there.
We kind of mentioned at the beginning of the show, and that's the thing that I like so much about Michael. Michael is a fly fisherman, and that's what he does. But you have always promoted so much. Do whatever. Like, we like fly fishing. Let you know, give this a try. You might be. I'm a surface iron yellowtail guy, but that doesn't mean I don't like to pick up a bass rod and catch a calico.
Right.
And I don't drop a dropper loop with a sardine and try to catch a yellow or anything else. And that's just yet another fun thing to do. Why wouldn't you?
And you can't. And there's nothing that makes it right or wrong.
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, why am I doing that? Because I like that.
Totally.
And there's nothing that lights up my world more than having that perfect channel down the kelp and watching a 3 to 5 pounder, you know, gold spot just come racing out of the kelp, right?
And yeah, the visual.
I could think of 100 scenarios right now where you could lay that out and get bit.
Yeah.
Equally.
No, and when you start talking about that, it's funny. One of the guys that fishes with me went to Cedros this year. And that's always kind of been on my radar and haven't really.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote me when he came back, and he's a conventional guy. He dabbles in fly fishing, but he didn't bring a fly rod with him. But he goes, you know, we had like a 300 calico bass day. And he goes, and the yellows were around. He said, this is the best fishing. It doesn't always happen that way. But I'm like, you know, and so I was talking to Mike Lum, of all people, about the place. And he said, we've got a place we really like. And I called him up. And they said, yeah, we've got a, you know, instead of 3 on a Bahanga, we put 2. And we're familiar with fly fishing. And so now that's kind of in my brain for next year is that, yeah, I think I want to get a group together and go down there. And
That would definitely be, I mean, because I'm not the yellowtail guy and, you know, likes to be on the high spot, yo-yo, surface iron. I mean, I am, but I'm the guy that wants to be in tight. And fishing in the structure, the kelp, and you absolutely would have the time of your life, any square inch of that island.
That's what it looks like.
Absolutely.
It's one of those things.
You would have the time of your life, Michael, like even after fishing, you know, 3 p.m., come in and
walk the beach.
Listen to me. Hands down, halibut, calicos, short fin corvina, maybe.
Oh, man.
You would have the time of your life.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I could see it working.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
I wanted to start this off with a text that came through because I think that this is such a unique fish, and I know that there is a definite fishery, a group of guys that love doing it in San Diego, and talk about an underutilized but a rad thing to get a bite with. So this one comes to us from our buddy Todd from TV Metal Art. Says, great show, guys. Question for our fly expert. Can you give us any tips on targeting carp in the San Diego County, whether it be from shore or boats, and he loves the show.
Boy, you caught me short on that one. I'll tell you why. I don't do a lot of carp fishing.
Okay.
I watch the guys that do it. It's really underutilized, and the part that's really fun about it is everything that you see with it, you have to stalk them. You're not going to blind fish. These guys go into ponds. They go into – I mean, there's guys that fish them out of the L.A. River up in L.A., which we always kind of laugh at.
I've seen that, though.
Yeah.
And where did I see that? I saw it on video.
There's a one guy named Lino Giubato, who's been showing a lot of people how to do it up there. And –
it sounds hideous. It's
really weird, but because they've done a lot of restoration down there, and they're doing more restoration.
It's actually beautiful.
So there's parts of it that are gorgeous, and the water that's flowing in there is coming, I think 70 million gallons a day is coming out of the Tillman Reclamation Plant of the San Fernando Valley. And that water's tertiary treated. I mean, that water you can drink.
It's very clean.
You can drink that water as it comes out. So... yeah, I'm not, you know, further downstream, no, I'm not going to be drinking the water. But it's interesting because you're in there, you've got reeds around you, you've got vegetation, and you're hearing freeway noise, but the reeds and all these things are tall enough that there's some sections that you don't even see the concrete.
You're in this oasis.
And you're like, wow. And you've got carp cruising around. So they're using a lot of nymphs,
okay,
you know, just like for trout fishing, they're tying nymphs. Woolly buggers is, you know, they fish them slow. Carp had a reputation for a long, long time as, oh, who wants to catch a carp? I got a carp.
Unless you're in Europe.
Right. and it was like, you know, okay, I'll do them bow and arrow, which is a little hard to do catch and release on bow and arrow. But then, you know, people started like, well, but they're here. And I've caught all of one carp because I went to Las Vegas, of all places, to speak to a club there. And the guy goes, have you ever caught a carp? I said, no. And he took me to Lake Las Vegas, and because of the tourists, they feed them Doritos all the time. So the guy hands me a fly that is bright orange. It's got an orange pom-pom on the back and the front, and then a palmer of bright orange feathers in the middle of this thing. So it keeps it floating. And he said, throw it out there. And we could see the carp cruising, and I throw it out in front of this carp. And carp comes over, and he sits underneath the fly about 3 inches away, pectoral fins looking up at the top for about 10 seconds, stares at it, and he finally goes, no, that's not something I'm going to eat, and he swims away. And the guy goes, there's another one coming. Just leave the fly there. I leave the fly there. The other one comes over, goes like that, and goes, no, I'm pretty sure I'm going to eat that. He comes up and eats it, and I'm like, oh, great. And I set the hook, and the guy says to me, don't release the line because he's going to get into the dock. Okay, this is on a 7-weight rod, which is a medium fly.
Yeah, you can muscle, muscle something around with that.
That's what I use for calico bass or bonita or something like that. This guy was a full bend in the fly rod down to the core as he was struggling to get to that dock to break me off.
No kidding.
And it was like, I mean, it wasn't a long run or anything, but it was a great battle, and he finally turned away from there, and we fought back and forth and finally landed him, and the guy hands me a towel. He goes, here, you want to hold this when you before you take it. It's like, wow, they really are slimy. But, yeah, and so the guys that are now targeting them at lakes, I think Henshaw is one of the lakes that come around here, but a lot of lakes have carp in them, and we've taken that kind of attitude or that assumption of, oh, it's a carp. I'm here for bass. Okay, but there's a carp there, and if you notice he's coming along the surface and you see him once in a while take something or you see him dart, why don't you throw something in front of him? He might eat it, and if he eats that, you're going to be in for the time of your life.
No. Coming from lameness here, is it like a midge? Like what you would be?
No, so the nymphs are bigger. A nymph is imitating an insect that's coming off the bottom. Okay. So it's something they're used to seeing swimming around that's going to come up and then maybe
could be a dragonfly nymph.
Could be a dragonfly.
Yeah.
Woolly buggers imitate leeches, bigger nymphs. But woolly buggers they have hackle wrapped around the feather.
They're poofy.
They're poofy. So when you're stripping it, it's bigger, smaller. Yeah. And so it's acting.
It looks lifey.
It looks very lifey. Yeah. It's a generic fly that works on so many places.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing that looks like things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it.
And they will eat them. And I did hook one up at, I forget what lake we were at out here, and I could not stop. I was fishing on 20 pounds S line, and the fish shocked me, and I couldn't stop it because I didn't have my drag tight enough.
That's
and
cool.
He took me right in the tree.
I can think of one place that you would. Have you ever fished Rancho Leonero?
No.
Rooster fish in the river?
No.
Well, we're going to go there exactly right now because we got John Ireland from Rancho Leonero, and one thing John has always talked about is rooster fish is very much a fish that's on so many people's bucket list, and it is just it's a difficult nut to crack. Not on live bait, but of all the artificials, John has always said that is a fish that is just a sucker for a fly, and we're excited to talk to John Ireland. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rick. Hello, Corey. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, we're having a great time. We have Michael Schweik from the Southwest Council of Fly Fishers in here, and we're talking fly fishing today, and a story that you have always told as rooster fish is just one of those things that probably bites a fly better than just about any other artificial lure out there.
Yeah, that's true. Good morning, Michael. Yeah.
Good morning.
You know, for some reason, they are a sucker for the fly, you know. They're a live bait fish first, but conventional artificial does not work as well as the fly. They do go for the fly, and I think it's because they're a shallow water feeder, a lookup feeder, and they're anger biters, too, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But the fly is very, very effective with the rooster fish, and we're really getting into some big ones this week, you know. 40, 50 pounders are common.
Wow. That's so cool. John, I don't know how you're going to top last week's report. It sounded fantastic down at the ranch.
It's just the same. It's just the same. There, in fact, more Dorado this week, believe it or not. They're between 30 and 50 pounds, these Dorado. And it's interesting, out of 10 Dorado that we're catching, 9 of them will be big bulls. You know,
that's
big
so cool.
Flat. Yeah, they're biting on the bank there between Punta Colorado and the lighthouse. They love the Rapalas. They're taking the Rapalas in a big way. And cedar plugs seem to be working well for them, too. But loads of them around. It's actually, I'd say, twice as many as last week. So most boats are bringing in at least one Dorado in the 30 to 50-pound range, believe it or not.
Wow.
Real good fish Yeah. Water's warm, and, you know, water's 85 degrees now and clear and flat. We actually got our first rain of the year yesterday. We got a nice, good rain, and that's always welcome. We'll green everything up for sure. It's warm this time of year in low 90s. The yellowfin are going off the board. You know, they're not real big fish, 10 to 20 pounders with the occasional 40 pounder mixed in. Spread bobs, porpoise are holding them. It's nice again because they're not real concentrated. It's not one big giant school of porpoise that are holding the tuna. It's a number of smaller, so you don't have the density of boats that drives the fish down. So when you do run into these smaller school of pods of porpoise that are holding the tuna, they're on. It's a game on. So almost all boats that are outside looking around for them are limiting. They're 5 to 50 miles off, depending on where they are. Fast-moving schools, very spread, but a lot of them around, and everybody's scoring on them. You know, the Bisbee's coming up here in another 2 weeks, I believe, but there's some big blues out there already. We have a lot of striped marlin, as usual for this time of year. I mean, loads of stripers, and mixed with sailfish, and then quite a few blues are being released already. We've had lots of breakoffs on big blues over the course of the week. We're sending out 10 to 15 boats a day, and they're pretty spread. Everybody's going further outside normally, going for the yellowfin or working inside. You know, the Dorado are in the same areas as the billfish as well, so loads of billfish. But most of the boats that are tying in them are boats that are actually targeting billfish. They're releasing 3 or 4, believe it or not. There's just loads of fish. And the roosterfish, of course, getting back to them. It seems like Rincon Bay, and again, the lighthouse is a big producer. La Capilla, the little village just north of us, right off the beach in front of there, has been real productive, too. But honestly, 30, 40 pounders are really common.
Wow.
And we're having 50, 60 pounds as well there. And we've actually released quite a few on fly this week as well. There's been Jeff DeBrown is our fly guy, and he's taken a couple groups out, and they're scoring on the roosters for sure.
It's really a lot really of fun.
That's awesome, John. Well, certainly some really good fishing to be had. If I know that it gets super busy with the fishing being as good as it is down there, any chance to sneak down in the ranch and get in while the fishing's still real good?
Oh, yeah, we've got room. We got room, and we have boats, so we welcome everybody down to come enjoy this fishing. It's really spectacular fishing. I cannot recall it being quite this good ever, and it's been consistent now for the last 5 weeks. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, the last few reports, it's kind of all species have been great. You kind of pick what you want to go do and go have fun doing it.
That's pretty much it, and, you know, a lot of the anglers are getting two or three. They're, you know, outside, and they pick up the yellowfin, and they come in and pick up some Dorado, go inside and pick up the rooster fish. It's really crazy. You know, as you remember, we had such a slow start this season. It was a scary slow start. And it just picked up about the second week in June. And it's been wide open since then.
Well, take it, buddy. We like a strong finish. If somebody wants to come in on the fun, lots of great time and the best still yet to come at Rancho La Genera. How do we find you, John?
Thanks. It's 800-646-2252 or RanchoLaGenera.com. And a lot of photos on the website, guys. Lots of to look at.
My favorite place in the whole world, Rancho La Genera. John, appreciate it very much. Thanks for keeping us up to date, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay. You guys have a good one. Thanks
amigo.
All right. Pleasure. Hey, you stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Boy, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. Earlier we were talking about Cedros. I'm super pumped up going down to Cedros Sport Fishing with a group from Let's Talk Hook Up here next week. We're going to have a big trip down there. And as I was kind of putting my quiver together yesterday, it's all Tranks. Now, outside of Corey, who's probably all Tranks 200s.
Well, Cedros would be 300.
Okay, well, sure. The big one, yeah. I hate to say it. My whole quiver is that. I got my Tranks 500 for surface iron fishing. I like to fish the 400 for my weedless and then 300 for my lead head. I got the whole quiver going. I love that Tranks reel.
Rick, my surf fishing's the 200s. My local calicos, 2 and 300s. I would fish nothing else. And like I always tell everybody, they're not given to me. I go into a shop and buy them just like you do.
That's it, man. They're a great reel. There's nothing that combines power, longevity, smoothness, and ease of operation like that Tranks reel. Check it out at your local Shimano dealer. Or for more information, check out ShimanoFishing.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing to the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
When you want to catch big bluefin tuna, you need Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The Shimano Beastmaster is the pinnacle of electric reels. Shimano's Gigamax motor packs a winding strength up to 250 pounds. Ideal for kite fishing and more. Shimano's butterfly flat fall jigs are irresistible to bluefin tuna because they stay in the strike zone longer. Shimano makes a complete line of butterfly flat fall jigs to target your favorite game fish. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. We're having so much fun. If you want to join us, learn more about fly fishing or share your fly fishing stories, there is one open line, 213-432-1090, and having Michael Sweet in studio here is truly a treasure.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Lots of great information and so much cool info coming up, including the catch report. We're going to find out what's biting out there. It's time for the catch report, Corey.
Yeah, and top anglers know the best hooks are made by Kamikatsu, as I do. I use that 7-aught super line weighted swim bait hook. I love that thing, but did you know that Kamikatsu also makes awesome tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? And Kamikatsu also makes jig heads, a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For a complete lineup, check Kamikatsu.com or step into your local tackle shop.
They also came out with a really cool Kamikatsu fillet knife at ICAST they introduced this year. Like a high-end knife. You know, I mean, it's something that's going to retail in that kind of $100 world. But, yeah, really good-looking high-end blades, really? High-end knife. Yeah, those guys, they keep adding and adding into it, man. No doubt about it. Very cool stuff. Well, hey, let's start off up at Dana War Sport Fishing. Talk to the guy that was sitting with us yesterday, and that's Captain Brian Woolley of Dana War Sport Fishing. What's up, Woolley?
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
We're doing great, man. Sure had a fun time talking with you and the whole Dana Wharf crew yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
Right on, yeah. Thanks for having me down there. It was a good time. Good time for sure. Yeah. Well, we're sitting on the anchor here this morning. We're up here off of Lake El Moro, just below Crystal Cove, fishing this morning. So we just got set up. We're catching a few bass as we speak here. So beautiful morning. But the conditions made some improvements for our week here. Primarily the water temperature, you know, that was kind of the big thing, bounced back. So we've been fishing like 69 to 71 degree water kind of by midday. A little bit of current kind of helped move some water around, as did that big swell. But some washed out areas through San Clemente made it kind of an easy call for us to make a right-hand turn coming out of the harbor and finish Dana Point, Salt Creek area on our half-day trips. Plenty of bass action on the fly line baits. You know, we had anchovy and sardine bait this week, which helped, you know, with the action on the smaller bait and some bigger fish on that bigger sardine. But fun summer bass fishing with some nice fish coming off the bottom as well, some nice sheephead and sculpin. A couple halibut in our counts and, you know, kind of mixed in with those bass there. On the three-quarter day stuff, fishing down off Camp Pendleton there, saw some tougher conditions again with that swell, but more action on the hard bottom and along some of the stubble kelp down there. Hard jerk baits and the rubber lures fished well for the guys that were willing to commit to it and make numerous long casts. Were rewarded with some nice fish down there. And then on the days where there was just too much stacked against us, you know, we made the run up the coast and fished above that Laguna Beach closure, kind of where I'm at today, and pretty much the same deal with bass on the surface with the artificial and a live bait. More good fishing over at Clemente, kind of touched on that here with the Fury. The bass fishing kicked into gear real well this week. I heard it from both Marcus on the Fury and Christian on the Lexi. They said that bass fishing got really good over there. So they've been tapping into some of that, along with some shots at that yellow and the 10 to 25-pound range. And then off west and, you know, away from the island there, that bluefin saw plenty of play from the Fury. He was there on a day and a half this week and had some fish from 40 to well into the 100-pound range. And the Boardroom and the Lexi have been kind of on that same stuff, too. Todd on the Boardroom's had some good luck on the high-speed troll catching fish. Again, that same range, 60 to 100-pound fish. So it's been good for them out there as well. So busy and hectic, but fun at the same time. So that's kind of the rundown of our week. If you guys want to hop on a boat, our number 949-496-5794. Of course, you can always link us there through the Let's Talk Hookup page or go direct to danawharf.com, and you can book online from there.
Willie, as always, appreciate it, man. Great fishing. Glad to hear that the conditions continuing to improve, and you guys are seeing that great fishing. Man, appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, I'm going to go tie on a Viejo's Bay right now with that chartreuse leadhead and make a few casts. I'm going to catch a couple right now.
It's amazing how that works,
right,
Brian.
Thanks, Willie.
Yep.
That's fun.
All right, see ya.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Well, while we're waiting to continue on with our catchport and our surf guru, why don't we jump into the phones, Corey?
Let's do it. How about Arnie? Arnie from Vista. Good morning, Arnie. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Corey, Ricky, and Michael. I had a question, and I had a little bit of a question I have for Michael. Are you in San Diego, and do you have people to come out and can talk to clubs about fly fishing? And the report I was going to make is Jim yesterday called in and gave an extra report on that the CCA charter we were on Friday. Now, another comment that I wanted to make about that is we had two anglers on the boat, Jason and Shannon Gillian, and Shannon did really well on the trip, but the neat thing about it, I didn't realize it at first, but after going over to them, I found out they were hearing impaired. And what was amazing, she was doing an awesome job out there catching fish. She really would, she knew how to get out there and get hooked up. And the neat thing that I watched them, I was taking some photos and watching them as they were working their way down the rail. And it's just like the way they communicated with the anglers, they really couldn't talk. So what they would do is she's working her way down the rail, she'd just reach over and kind of tap you on the arm or on the shoulder just so she knows that they were there. And everybody on the boat was totally accommodating with them. And I really got to hand it out to Captain Bala and the crew of the San Diego. Those guys were really watching out for them. They were helping them when they didn't need some help. And it really, really made a great day just watching how well they could do. So I guess the lesson here is everybody, even if you do have a disability, don't be afraid to come out and fish. Because I tell you what, a lot of these boats...
No doubt about it. Well, great call, Arnie. Glad you guys had such a good trip. Now, what about the council? Any speakers, anything like that? I mean, I know that you've done quite a bit of that over the years. Is that
right.
Still something that's...
Well, so what happened was that we have a speaker circuit of, I think, 6 or 7 clubs. So I went down, and the club that I spoke to down here was the Golden State Flycasters out of Encinitas, I think is where they're based. And that we did a meeting at Kearney Mesa. There's another club down here, the San Diego Fly Fishers, and they're not on the speaker circuit, but I just recently sent them a thing and said, you know, I'd be happy to come down here and talk about, you know, the nearshore and offshore fishing. So hopefully I can do another program down here on that. I'm happy to come down and speak to any clubs, really, you know, even if it's conventional clubs, because it's all fishing.
Exactly.
It's all techniques, and it's just, you know, I'm listening to Rick talk about, you know, that he's going to go down to Sedros, and I'm thinking,
Well, I'm going out on a two-day tuna trip, but I'll be back Wednesday. I have a rod I think I might be able to leave here for him. So when he's at Cedros, he can say, oh, wait, I've got a fly rod.
Hey,
so,
yeah. don't threaten me with a good time, Michael, that's for sure.
Right?
Thanks for the call, Arnie.
A text we had from a friend of ours of the show, Dan Kirby, that sent us a picture and said,
Dan.
What, right?
A GT.
A 70-pound giant Trevally.
Yeah.
And
where?
I will have to find out. I'm sure you'll.
All right, Dan. We're looking for info on that. You don't just get to send a picture of a 70-pounder without something. That's awesome.
But he's proven that a conventional guy like ourselves, Rick, can turn it over to a fly rod and catch a beautiful fish.
Speaking of giant trevally, look it up. It's another YouTube thing. But there's a guy that because giant trevally will eat birds.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a video that this guy did that he, I won't tell you how he did it, but he catches a GT on a imitation of a booby.
Come on.
That was a fly. But I don't want to, should I spoil it? Should I tell you what it was? That he took a black sandal that he found on the beach.
Come on.
Yes. And he tied a big hook into this.
So that was the body.
That was the body of this thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't really cast this thing, but basically he was waiting. In the video you see him, he's waiting out about, you know, waist deep.
Uh-huh.
And
just placing it,
well,
literally.
He saw them come up and start crashing some bait. And he just kind of does, you know, he gets the fly behind him and just throws it out there maybe 30 or 40 feet. Fish comes up and eats them.
Oh, that's
what
sick.
The heck?
And that's on video.
Wow.
On video.
Oh, I'll be looking at that.
And he lands the fish, and it was not a small GT.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow. It's like,
wow. Oh, that's awesome.
And by the way, that was caught at Christmas Island. He let us know.
Okay. Right on, Dan. Nice one. That's cool. Well, hey, let's continue with our catch report. Speaking of another great spot to catch him on the fly, and that's the surf. Our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, is on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Morning, Gundy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great day this morning, buddy. How about you?
Yeah, good show. Fun stuff. Yeah, we got a little shovel to the back of the head last weekend with the conditions, you know. The water kind of rolled over, a lot of junk. So early in the week, a lot of streaky water, tough week of fishing. The swell, wind, and temperature drop put the bite off. Like I said, lots of junk in the water. By Friday, however, conditions were returning, and we're starting to see things come back to that really good fishing we had previous. You know, the Corbina fishing has been the top draw, lots of fish on the beaches, and lots of quality fish we're seeing this season. And then, you know, white sea bass, halibut, calico bass, sand bass, spot fin, yellowfin, croaker, lingcod, all in the catch. So we're getting back to some real good fishing here. Hook, line, sinker reported more white sea bass catches along Gaviota and Refugio. Most of the fish in the 25 to 34 inch range, swim baits have been getting bites. I think a 36 inch fish was the better fish there, reported taking off Refugio on a sardine pattern swim bait. The bait's still thick along this stretch, and that's holding the fish. Also been good for the halibut bite. No big fish, but legals to 30 inches, flash minnows, swim baits, and cut anchovy have been the top presentations there. The best Corbina action's been along Carpinteria and Summerlin. Wiley's reported a rare 28-inch lingcod taken from the beach, one of the Malibu beaches there on cut squid. That's a nice fish for off the beach. I think it was off county line. That's correct.
Incredible.
And then they're also getting white sea bass along that stretch, Paradise Cove, Escondidos, kicked out fish to 34 inches. Cut anchovy's been a top bait there. Sunset and Gladstone has been a good stretch for halibut. They had two double-digit halibut there, taking on whole trap-rigged anchovy. Jess Fishing reported good Corbina catches on Friday and Saturday. A 4-pound, 6-ounce Corbina was taken near the Hermosa Pier on a sand crab. You know, the stretch from Long Beach to Dana Point saw real poor conditions. The water rolled over, lots of junk in the water. So we'll pick it back up. Oceanside there, Pacific Coast reported a return to good conditions by the weekend. They had an angler check in, a 25-inch Corbina. He released the fish, so they estimated it 6 to 7 pounds, somewhere like that.
Wow.
They also had a 24-inch fish checked in, which is 5 to 6 pounds maybe. And then a third angler checked in 4 fish he caught and released over 18 inches. So there's some real hogs in the surf line right now, and just give it a few more days. Conditions getting better. We're getting better tides. Water's cleaning up. We'll get right back to that real good Corbina fishing.
I've got a question for you, Gundy, because we did have that monumental south swell this last week. What does that do in your mind? I mean, when we typically have a westerly and, you know, two-foot westerly, and all of a sudden we have a 5-foot southerly, I mean,
yeah.
It obviously screws it up, but what...
Yeah, it does. There's not much you can do when you get that. You know what's the hardest thing is all the junk in the water, you know, the swell will rip up eelgrass and pieces of kelp and put that on the beach. You also get current, real strong ripping currents up or down, and, you know, that makes things real difficult. So, you know, all you can do is stick your toe in the water and see what conditions are like. And, you know, if they're not right, you're just going to have to wait it out. But, you know, this time of year, things bounce back pretty quickly. And like I said, by this weekend, the guys... Especially down south, we're reporting real nice conditions and 69-degree water, so it bounces back fairly quickly.
Right, and I have to say, and I've told you a couple weeks ago, I mean, your fish reports and surf fishing have inspired me, and not that I'm a first-time surf fisherman by any means, but it's just got me out of the house and more into the surf this year and having a great time. Thank you.
Yeah, if you live near the beach, you can really integrate it into your day, you know. Get out there early or late, just bust up your day. It's a nice release, man. And underutilized.
And at the top of it all, it's a free outing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Free. Yep. And not bad to have a nice little California halibut fillet every now and again either.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I tell you, these tanker Corbina that are around, you can get a wall hanger any day.
Wow. That's rad.
That's true.
That's awesome. Benny, great report.
Great show,
as
gentlemen.
Always, buddy. Thanks, Bo. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Have a nice week, guys.
See you again.
I truly appreciate his reports, Rick. And they're brought to you by CCA California and Bill Varney have teamed up this summer to bring you a series of on-the-beach surf fishing seminars. This summer's clinics will be held at Bolsa Chica, which they just had. And next up on tap will be Carpinteria Morro Bay. And Bill wants you to join him on these seminars. He can check and help to become a better surf angler. But you can check him out at fishthesurf.com, and that's where you can figure it all out.
Yeah, click on the seminars tab and sign yourself up, and away you go. Well, certainly some great fishing going on, tons of great questions, and when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information. If you want to get through, it's 213-432-1090, or text us on that Let's Talk Hookup app. Another full hour coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, it's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pockets. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLandero.com. It's unique.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out Islander-Charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1.5 to 5-day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit Islander-Charters.com for all the details.
The future comes standard at your San Diego County Ford dealers, so swing on by and check out the legendary Ford F-150, the smart and capable Ford Ranger, and the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. New inventory is arriving daily, and your San Diego County Ford dealer is here to help you build and order the truck or SUV of your dreams. Want to make sure you get the right truck to tow your boat? They'll help you order the right configuration to meet your needs. needs. Want to make sure you get the right SUV to haul your gear on your next adventure? They've got you covered there, too. Escape, Edge, Bronco Sport, Explorer, and Expedition. They've got the SUV that's perfect for you. If it isn't on the lot, they'll order it and get you exactly what you need. They want your trade, so swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see all the great deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com. We'll be right back.